We've been in a series since February, and today we are wrapping that up. And so if this is your first time here, you kind of feel like you showed up for the credits of a movie, you know what I'm saying? Great. No, you'll still be able to get a lot out of today. But we've been in a series, it's called Foundations, and it's exactly what it says it is. It's the foundations of what we believe as Christians. And as far as our church goes, it's part of our Next Steps track here as a church, where we help people follow Jesus. And it works in tandem with freedom groups, and which I want to encourage you to kind of throw it out there right now. Look to August, where we're going to begin to talk about small groups and open up groups for everybody to sign up. Many of you've been around the church for a while, and you kind of just, you know the people in your little, like the seats that, you know, you sit around, like that's the people you know in the church. You don't really know anybody else, and maybe you haven't been able to jump on a team. And so this doesn't feel like, you know, you're home yet, but you kind of feel like you'd like to be a part of that home. Small groups is another great way to get involved and to get to know people and to get ministry. You know, one thing we also say about groups is that if you're not a part of a group, it's hard to kind of guarantee pastoral care. You know, and I don't mean pastoral like from me. I mean pastoral like care from people, from the church, getting cared for. It's a great place to get to know people and let your roots go down. But Freedom Groups is one of those, and Foundations is going to be one of those groups as well. So today, we are again wrapping up this whole series. And a lot of what we've talked about has gone along with our mission statement. Last week, we talked about the mission that the church is on, and today is the mission part two. And last week, we talked about the stages of discipleship, right? That we're called to make disciples, and we talked about the different stages of discipleship. And this is part two, and we're talking about the mission that we're on, that we fulfill this mission that Jesus has given us, fueled by love for him and for his people. The Great Commission and the Great Commandment. You remember we talked about that last week, for those of you who were here. And so, but again, what is the mission of our church? The mission of our church is that we exist to build Christ-centered communities that help people know God, grow in Christ, and go in the power of the Holy Spirit until Jesus returns. And last week we talked about helping people know and grow, and today is the going, all right? So today is kind of like the sending off message of this series. And so our going flows from our knowing and growing. If we know God and we're growing in Christ, we can't help but to go, right? It's just part of the Christian life. In the book of Acts, we talked about this in Acts chapter 2, the church begins, right? And if you remember, the Holy Spirit comes, and Peter, who had denied Jesus a few days before, stands up in front of all of these people and preaches the gospel in boldness. And like 3,000 people got saved. The church was born. But it's just interesting. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus says this: "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." What's interesting is, let's just take Peter for example. Peter denies Jesus before a little girl and a few other people. And then a few days later, Peter stands in front of a multitude of people preaching the gospel. Those two things don't go together, right? What took place between these two things? Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was filled with power to stand up and declare the truth of Jesus in boldness and confidence. A lot of you find yourself today here with Peter denying, you know, Jesus before a little girl, right? Because it's just a little intimidating. And then you look at other people who are like Peter standing in front of 3,000, not necessarily, you know, really in front of 3,000 people, but they share the gospel with boldness, and you're like, what's going on there? Well, there's a Holy Spirit component. There's a Holy Spirit component in this. The Holy Spirit draws us to Christ, convicts us of sin, saves us, seals us, and empowers us with the Spirit to go and be a witness for the kingdom of God. And that's what we're called to. So Jesus is saying here that as believers, we're filled with the Spirit of God, and we receive power from him to go to those around us and to be witnesses of the good news. We go in his strength, not ours. Some of you you're waiting for like a light switch to kind of go off one day where all of a sudden you feel like you have the confidence to go and be a mouthpiece for Jesus, right? Well, you don't go in your own effort. Many times I've gone to talk to someone, or I kind of get thrust into a conversation with someone about Jesus. And honestly, I'm sitting there looking at them and they're saying their story or their situation or their question. And I'm gonna be honest with you guys. I'm sitting there going, God, help me. I have no idea what I'm about to say, what I need to say. Lord, you know what this person needs to hear. You've got to give me the wisdom because I don't know what's, you know what I'm saying? And it's amazing whenever you say a prayer like that in that moment that God comes through every time. And all of a sudden after the conversation, you look back and you're like, yeah, that wasn't me. That a couple of weeks ago, I was at a golf tournament and afterwards we're hanging out and me and a couple of buddies and this other guy that we didn't know walks up and sits down. And it was the old thing where he found out I was a pastor. And that could go one or two ways right there, man. You know what I'm saying? You're a pastor, huh? You know? Or you're a pastor, I have a lot of questions for you. And it was a lot of questions, which I love. It was great. And we had about an hour and a half long conversation, and it was a great time. But it was one of those moments where I was reminded of being ready no matter what, no matter where you are, that you're a mouthpiece for Christ. And that's really what we're talking about today. So we go in his strength, not ours. And also we go to those in our circles. I want you to begin to think of your family and your friends, your coworkers, those people that you live life with as people that God has sent you to. One thing that happens a lot of times is as Christians, we get used to the people that we do life with, and at times we can forget that we're on mission in their lives. Even those who know Christ, like believers or unbelievers, that we are on mission to help each other in our walks with God, like we've talked about with discipleship, come on. That we're there for one another, and then our friends and our family who are far from Christ, who don't know him, that we're on mission. Like honestly, guys, we as Christians do have ulterior motives. We do. Because we believe that people who don't have faith in Jesus, who don't know him, are going to hell. That's what we believe. And so we are not a cruise ship, if you will. We are a rescue boat. Like this right here is not about comfort. It's about mission. It's about commission. And so we've got to keep that fire burning in us. We've got to be reminded of that. But what happens is we get used to the people around us. We get used to people who are far from Christ, and we don't want to impose our religion on them. Come on. We don't want to pressure them with Jesus. But at the same time, if you love someone, don't you want them to do well? Don't you want them to experience good things? Don't you want them to not experience hell, right? I mean, at the end of the day, I'm just kind of poking a little bit right now, right? We've got to kind of wake up sometimes to this, that we are on mission. And this is not a flippant thing. But that we are also not doing this in our own strength. We're doing this in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so in Christianity, this going that we're talking about is really referred to a lot of times as evangelism. And evangelism means, according to the dictionary, to preach the gospel. That's what it is. Evangelism. Sometimes we hear evangel and all of a sudden we think evangelical and then we start thinking about like a voting demographic or something like that. You know what I'm saying? And it's not that. The word evangelism is about preaching the gospel. There's some examples of this in the Word of God referring to proclaiming and preaching. And Mark 16, and he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Acts 8:4. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Colossians 1:28, him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. It says warning. That's what I was just referring to. We warn people about where things are at, what's going on in the world, what's going on in their life. 1 Corinthians 1, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. One thing you got to realize is that some people are going to think that the God that you believe in and the Bible that you believe in and the things that you hold true are not real, and they'll mock you and they'll persecute you. They might post mean things about you on social media. Ooh, you know? That's where we're at nowadays. Peter got hung upside down. We're just like, oh, please don't post mean things about me. You know, a little bit different there. But this is something you as a believer also are mandated to do. Y'all, this is not like something that we should just be like, ah, if it's a good day, I might decide to share Jesus with somebody. We're always on mission. This is the life we live. It's the Great Commission. I want to ask some questions today and answer those questions. The first question I want to ask is what a lot of people have the question of is, why do you need to evangelize? Like, I mean, we have churches, right? We got guys like me who stand up on stages and talk about all this. So why do I need to go? Why don't they just, you know, hey, I'll just invite them to church. Why do you need to evangelize? Well, if all of what we've talked about in this series is true, right? If everything that we've talked about for the last, whatever, 13, 14 weeks is true, we must go. How can we not go? Paul has this heart whenever he talks to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 5. He says, all of this is from God. He's talking about the gospel. The gospel is a gift from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. Quick note, remember, we just talked about this a second ago in communion, but we were born in sin, born in the condition of sin, apart from Christ, born with a sinful nature, and we need to be reconciled back to Christ through Jesus' sacrifice, and that's what he's referring to here. So because of Jesus' sacrifice, now God is not counting their trespasses against them. And entrusting to us the message of reconciliation, therefore we are ambassadors of Christ. God is making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Why do we evangelize? We evangelize because we are ambassadors for Christ, and we are called to represent him to the world and are entrusted with sharing the gospel with others. You have to picture yourself and realize that you are an ambassador of Christ. If you know anything about embassies and ambassadors, there's certain places in countries that are designated. For instance, if it's an American embassy, that the where the embassy is considered American soil. And so you have people who go to represent countries in different countries. And that's us. You see, you're in the world, but you're not of the world. You're a new creation. You are different. As a believer in Christ, you don't think the way that the world thinks anymore. Your desires are different. That's right. Like, we don't always fit in. And in our world right now, where biblical morality and mainstream morality is doing this, right? We are going to stand out more and more and more. Why? Because we're ambassadors. We're not members. We're not citizens of the world. If you are saved, if God has redeemed you, you are a citizen of the kingdom of God now. And so you live your life differently. I mean, it doesn't mean that you always like look strange, you know, like you're a weird person. Like, being a citizen of the kingdom of God doesn't mean that you're weird. All right, we're not talking about that. Some people are like, well, people don't accept me because I'm a Christian. It's like, no, because you're mean and you're weird and people don't like to be around you. It's different than what we're talking about here, okay? Christians don't have to be weird. Anyway, I feel like I need to throw that out every now and then, you know? Everywhere I go, people look at me funny. Anyway, I'm not gonna go there. I just keep moving. I set a trap for myself on that one. Keep moving. All right. But we are entrusted as ambassadors to represent the kingdom of God. And you've been given the message of reconciliation. You have to realize that in some people's lives, in your circle, you may be the only ambassador of Christ in their life. And you have no idea what the future holds for them. A couple of years ago, me and a few buddies, we had a friend who was, he was raised around church and had a lot of ideas about God, but was very confused, had never really read the Bible. And so we start hanging out and start getting into some of those deeper conversations. And, you know, here we are, me and about four other guys, and, you know, we're all this, kind of the same age range, and we live a life a certain way. And then he had this other circle of friends who did not live according to the word of God, right? And there was a big contrast. And he began to say things like, man, I want to hang out with you guys more. Whenever we hang out, I feel different. Like, I don't know. It's like, I see the world differently. I just feel like, I feel better whenever I leave hanging out with you guys than I do these other people. And so we started hanging out more. And then we started having more spiritual conversations. And eventually, I mean, like the type of conversations till like 1 a.m. on the back porch, you know, where they're saying things like, I've never told anybody this, but, and the, you know, like those types of conversations. And eventually we were having some conversations about God, and I started talking about the Bible, and he was like, I've never heard that story before. Who, you know, who is Moses? You know, that level. And I said, man, have you ever read the Bible? No. I said, dude, why don't we just get together and start reading the Bible? And I'll just explain stuff that I can, you know, and answer your questions. And so me and a couple other buddies and him got together on the back porch, and we started reading the Bible together. And by the way, reading the Word of God, simply just reading the Bible with other people, and especially someone who is far from God and doesn't really know a lot about God, it's one of the most rewarding things that you can do. It's fulfilling. It's beautiful. And so we were reading the Bible together, and we did that for a few weeks, few months. And again, it kind of started to come to church a little bit and started getting some understanding. And it was a few months later that he was involved in a car accident, a motorcycle accident, and he passed away. You know, so as I'm preaching this, I can't help but picture this story. And what we didn't realize at the time was we were ambassadors for Christ in this man's life, where there was nobody else around him except for us. And you know what? It would have been kind of easy just to keep it surface level, you know? You know, I mean, you go to bed at 1 o'clock at night and got to get up for work the next day. Come on, man, you're tired, you're spent. But whenever you have such a, you know, an intense situation like this take place, it reminds you again that this is real, that we are on mission, and we have absolutely no idea where somebody's life is at and what's in store. And you may be the last person, literally, to have these types of conversations with someone, and God has specifically put you into that situation. And he, guess what? He's given you all that you need to be effective for him in that situation. We need to feel this. This is real. We're ambassadors for Christ. Who is supposed to evangelize? This would be the next question. Who is supposed to evangelize? Again, for a lot of people, this is evangelization right here. It's a church service, and that's not correct. Who is supposed to evangelize? Simply put, all of us. Every single one of us, right? Whether you've been saved for 5 minutes or 50 years, every single one of us, we're all on mission. We all have different circles, right? You have people that you know that I don't know, and vice versa. And so we are supposed to go to these circles, and we have been equipped with this wonderful message of reconciliation, the gospel. At the end of the day, the gospel is all you need. You don't need everything figured out. For a lot of people, it's like, I gotta wait a few more years and then I'll be ready. We're gonna talk about that in just a moment. We are the church, and we are responsible to proclaim the gospel. So that's a pretty quick answer, right? All of us. Next question, how do you evangelize? How do you actually do it? And I think for a lot of people, this is where it's at. I think a lot of people feel the weight and the responsibility to evangelize, to talk to people. I know a lot of people, man, it's like, I just don't know how. I don't know. Like, I just, and there's a hesitation, and like, you're, you know, the words on the tip of the tongue, like you're in that moment, you're like, I don't know what to do. And a lot of times we feel ill-equipped. So how do you evangelize? Some think that you evangelize from a pulpit or some sort of ministry platform. And again, although that that might be the case for some, this mandate was never meant to be isolated to those expressions. So right now, for some of you, you need to kind of deconstruct that mindset of evangelism being a pastor's responsibility. It's a big deal. And a lot of you, depending how you were raised, you might have been raised up in a certain denomination or a certain field where that was the case. It's like, you know, I'm just a regular person, and there's like a priest or a pastor, and they are closer to God, and they know more than I do, and they have a special connection with God that I don't, and so like they need to talk to them, not me. Man, that's a plan of the enemy. That's a lie from the enemy. What that does is it shuts your mouth. It silences you. It all the opportunities that are around you, you no longer see. You can't see because you're not even in the mindset that you're called to do that. And there's also a plan of the enemy to cause us to feel that any time that we bring up our faith, and any time that we begin to share the gospel with someone or share maybe our morality or whatever the case is, that again, like I said earlier, it's pressuring someone. And we do it with such an apologetic, like not a good apologetic, but like, in a, like a, you know, standing for your faith and knowing what you believe. But like we're apologizing as we share Jesus with people. What is that? This is the message of reconciliation, y'all. This is the good news. Every other news that they've ever heard in their life that they would have considered to be good pales in comparison to the message that you have. Have confidence in the gospel. We're all called, but how do we go? Here's some ways that you evangelize. Number one, you evangelize with your story. Some of you feel like you don't know enough to evangelize theologically, philosophically. You feel like almost sometimes the way that we even teach and preach that's what evangelism looks like in a conversation, and that's not always the case. You go in, number one, equipped with your story. What has God done in your life? What's he done in your life? And that's where you start, at a baseline level. If you don't know anything about like predestination, right? Or like justification, these words that all have like shun at the end of them. You know what I'm saying? You're like, what are the big words? And all the ologies. You're like, I don't know about all that. If that's where you're at, that's okay. What has God done in your life up to this point? What's your story? There's a story in the Bible in Mark chapter 5 where Jesus comes to this place and there's this man that's filled with all these demons. And a lot of crazy stuff going on. You can go read the story. But he's filled with demons, and Jesus prays over him and casts the demons out into a herd of pigs. The pigs jump off the cliff, and some of you have never heard the story before, and you're like, what are you saying right now? It's in the Bible. And this man has been tormented. His whole life has been ruined by the enemy, and he's set free by Jesus. And so we pick the story up in verse 18. And as Jesus was getting into the boat, he's about to leave, the man who had been possessed with demons went to Jesus and he begs him that he might be with him. He's like, Jesus, I wanna go with you. Come on, y'all. He's like, Jesus, I'm gonna be your greatest fan. He's like, Jesus, I don't know that much, but I will be your hype man. Like every time that you're about to walk out, you know, I will stand on the side. I'll be like, everybody, listen up. Hailing from heaven. Jesus Christ, you know. That reminded me of that dude. Jesus Christ. Anyway, social media. Anyway, you ever talk and you say something and all of a sudden like this video like pops in the side of your head? He's like, Jesus, I'll be your hype man. I want to go with you. And Jesus, you know, in one sense, I don't know if Jesus was, you know, like, I don't know if this guy was really like ready to be with Jesus and his disciples. I don't know if it was like Jesus was like, No, like, let's go ahead and stay here, man. You just put your clothes on, man. Let's just go ahead and, you know, if you know the story, you know, you just put your clothes on and let's just go ahead and let's take it one step at a time, brother. My devotional time sometimes is really, I'm just sitting there laughing. But anyway, no, he's like, Jesus, I want to go with you. And this is what Jesus says to him. Jesus did not permit him to come with him, but he said to them, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. And this man went away and began to proclaim, come on, he began to evangelize, proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus has done for him, and everyone marveled. Jesus didn't say, hey man, okay, cool, come with me. I will teach you all of the ologies. I will teach you all of the shun words, right? I'm gonna take you through seminary real quick, and we'll go through all that. You gotta read all the thick books. Do all that. Make sure you read all of the Old Testament first before we get up there and begin to talk about the... He didn't do that. He said, what have I done in your life? And go to your friends, go to those around you, and just tell them what I've done in your life. Come on. And for some of you, that's what you need to hear today. Because you've been discounting yourself as an ambassador of Christ because you don't have it all figured out intellectually. But you've got this incredible experience, this incredible story of what God has done in your life, and start there. Sometimes people don't care about how much you know, by the way. They're like, I want the proof. Yeah, there's all the ologies, there's all the shun words. But what about what's happened in your life? What's happened in your heart and your mind? What about that? I want to hear about your experience, not about what somebody taught you. That's how some people look at it. So you need, I'm saying it that way so that way you would look at your story and say, man, there is value in my story. There is value in the simplicity of what the Word of God has done in my life. We start with our story. Your story builds faith in God's ability to restore and redeem. And you need to know that other people are gonna find healing in your wounds and in your story. I want you to remember this, that your most effective ministry will come out of your deepest hurts. Some of you, your story of how God has pulled you out of darkness and placed you into light, that pain, some of the things that you're very, you're ashamed of, the stories that you try to like, yeah, we're really not ready to talk about that. I don't want people to know about that part. What is that shame? What is that? You need to call it what it is. It's shame and condemnation and guilt. Whenever we are saved, all of the things that the enemy meant for evil, God redeems and restores, and now it's used for his glory. So I know a lot of you were hurt, or you made a lot of bad choices and a lot of bad decisions, and it's your old life and you want to forget about it. But there's people that are sitting in your circles, that are sitting around you, that is their story right now, and they need to hear somebody talk about that. Come on. The next thing is that you evangelize with the truth. The truth. This is where you are growing in your understanding of God and his truth. You have this experience with God. And a lot of times what happens is then you begin to understand what actually happened in that experience. We talked about justification and sanctification and other things throughout this this series. But did you know that when those things are happening, you don't have the words to really explain what's happening? Many times you look back and you realize, oh my goodness, that was the Holy Spirit. My parents' story, whenever they got saved, about 6 months before they got saved, they were far from God, far, far from God. No pulse. They weren't even CEOs. Christmas Easter only Christians. They weren't even those, man. We're not hypocrites. They were fully unsaved. But, my dad was, this is super random. This is a super random story. One day, he's driving home from work, and all of a sudden, he got this crazy idea in his head. It's like, I need to go buy a Bible. y'all got to realize how weird that is, all right? I need to go buy a Bible. And so he goes to the bookstore, Christian bookstore, drives up, goes inside, gets a Bible, picks it up, starts walking to check it out, you know? And all of a sudden, goes into his right mind. He's like, what am I doing? He goes back and he throws the Bible. I don't know, what did you say, Dad? You can't say it in church, can you? No, I can't stay in church. Basically, I'm crazy, you know? Whoa! And and he goes home. And the whole way, he's just like, this is ridiculous. Why would I do this? And the story goes, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you walked into the house. And say it, huh? It's your office. Okay, well, right here, come on. And then what happened right there?
Well, let me tell you what happened.
Yeah.
For all you online, listen up. So this is what happened. We were disconnected from God completely. I heard a voice in my head that said, go buy a Bible. I went to buy it, just like you said, at the bookstore. And I just was really inflamed. I mean, and just threw the Bible clear down the hallway of that bookstore. About 2 weeks later, I heard that voice in my head again, said, go buy a Bible. I went and I bought that Bible. It cost $3.65. It wasn't a reference Bible or a study Bible. It was a paperback and just words, not one picture in the whole book. Make a long story short, Jan had been home. We had been tussling with this thing. I'd leave little papers around the house about Jesus. I was not saved. She was not saved. But then she said this. She said, I was just watching the 700 Club. She called me up right when I got my office and threw that Bible on my desk because I was still very, very angry at what was going on. And she said, honey, I read those little books you've been leaving around the house. I've been watching the 700 Club. And she said, you know what? Baby, you got to go buy a Bible. And this is what happened. And then I'm going to close with this. No, this is what happened. Right then, in that very moment in time, I realized that, number one, God was real. And I'm not saved, but God is real. And even more terrifying than that, that he's in this room. And even much more terrifying than that, he knows that I'm in this room. And he knows what's going on. And then the long story, you know, short, is that we got saved. And here we are now speaking on Sunday morning at Northwood Church.
Come on. Yeah. You have no idea what the beginning is, and then you have no idea what God's going to do and then how it's going to end up. And I think, you know, for some of you, you need to be encouraged with that in your own family right now. You know, one thing that, as the story goes on, for the next 40 years, they've lived right in front of our family. Not a lot of people liked it whenever they got saved. Matter of fact, there was a threat of murder from one of the family members. Like, don't come up in here talking about all that Jesus stuff. They were not accepted, right? But decade after decade of living right, honoring God, loving their family, honoring their parents, God's done a miracle in the family where the vast majority of their family has come to Christ. It's amazing. So for some of you, you know, you evangelize for 2 weeks and you're like, God, what's going on? I done did the thing, you know? I did the thing. Where you at? Give it 40 years. You know, stay faithful. Second Peter says, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow in the grace and the knowledge. You evangelize with the truth, and the truth is based upon the Word of God. And so as we grow, what we are growing in is the understanding of God, and He has given us His Word to understand Him, the way that He thinks, His character, right? The way that we should live. That's how we grow. We don't just grow from just, I guess, osmosis. We grow primarily through the Word, through being in conversations with those who are also seeking God. That's how we grow. And then we take what we know and what we learn, and we go to others and we share that truth with them. In order to evangelize and disciple people, you must know what you believe and why you believe it. You must. Now, I realize, again, a second ago we were talking about this, having the story and the ologies and the Big Sean words, you know, and there's a certain phase of your discipleship and your understanding and your growth with Christ that don't be intimidated by all of that, right? Don't let that keep, but as you are saved and as you are walking with God, there should be growth in understanding the things of God. The questions that you have, that you would seek God, that you would search the word, that you would read books, that you would gain understanding in these things, so that way you know why you believe what you believe. You know? Like in anything else in life, we do that. You get a hobby, guess what? You're watching all the YouTube videos. You know, you're buying everything. You're buying the books. Like, you're just like all in, you know. I started playing golf about 12 years ago, and I was the guy in the living room with an old, horrible-looking club with wiffle little, you know, golf balls hitting it into a laundry basket, you know. Then hit the TV and then, like, miss it and all this kind of stuff. But why? I wanted to learn how to play golf, man. And now I still just chip it all over the place, all over the green anyway. Golf will build your character or also reveal to you that you have weak character, one or the other. But anyway, why? I cared about what I was, that can we have the same amount of passion and energy and investment of time into learning what we believe about our eternal souls, right? And about the people around us as we do about a hobby. We need to evangelize with the truth, but we must learn the truth. 1 Peter 3:15, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that's in you. You grow in your understanding also, I wanna encourage you with this, as you teach others. I played guitar, I learned to play guitar, started learning when I was 10. And by the age of 12 or 13, I was pretty proficient at playing guitar. And I also played piano and all this kind of stuff. So I had music theory in me. I took a couple years of piano lessons. And so I, in my own mind, had kind of like, you know, just like almost like on-the-job training, just sort of learned music theory. And I had my own working theory in my head of how it all operated. And well, when I was 18, I started doing guitar lessons. And I actually gave Josh some lessons. And the guy that plays electric over here, you know what I'm saying? So he's so good at guitar. I like to take a little bit of credit for that. Come on, just a little bit. Yeah, okay. And when I started teaching him and some other guys, I quickly realized that I knew the guitar really, really good and theory for myself, but it's a whole other thing whenever you go to teach someone else. And what's crazy is that when you go to teach someone else what you know, you learn what you know even better. You relearn it. And it clarifies things in your mind, and you just get better and better at teaching it. It's the same thing with the Word of God and the things of God. Some of you, God's done so much in you, and you know what? You do have a lot of working theology in your mind. Like, you're a believer, you're saved, all that good stuff, and I'm not discounting that. But you never verbalize it. You never talk to anybody about it. And so it's bottled up inside of you. And even in those moments that you're talking to someone, you're like, oh man, I wish I had something. Like, I know I want to say something. Because you've never fleshed that out with other believers, talking to yourself in the car, you know, might seem a little bit weird. Share your story in your car like you're sharing your story with somebody who's far from God. Like, you know what I'm saying? But because you've never practiced it and gone to teach it, yeah, it's going to stay dormant inside of you. We evangelize with the truth. We must know the truth, but eventually we must speak the truth. Speak it out. But it's not just knowledge. The end of this verse, when it says, give a reason for the hope that's in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. This segues perfectly into the last question, or the last part of this one question, is that you evangelize by the way that you live. So you evangelize with your story, you evangelize with the truth, and you evangelize in the way that you live. Every day that you're alive, you are behind the pulpit of your life. Some of you are looking for a pulpit like this one. And you gotta realize that 7 days a week, you're standing behind a pulpit. It's the way that you live your life. It's the conduct of the believer, right? The condition of sin, We're saved, and then there's the conduct of the believer, the sanctification process that we talked about a few weeks ago. The way that you live your life evangelizes. It proclaims the gospel. I just mentioned my parents, 40 years of living out the gospel. There was no crack in the armor. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like, yeah, we followed God for 5 years and we were on fire and rah, 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 and we're in church and we're, yeah, and then all of a sudden, well, now we go every now and then, not as excited. And then about 10 years later, we're right back doing the same thing that we were doing 10 years ago. Guess what that preached? That preached that it was flimsy, it was a weak faith, it never was real in the first place. That's what that communicates to people. We're not called to that, man. The way that you live matters. It preaches the gospel. 1 Peter 2, beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles, those that don't know Jesus, honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds. And check this out. They'll see the way that you live. And they'll glorify God on the day of visitation. The way that you live brings honor and glory to God. You might not see it in the moment, but it does. We got to preach to those in our circles. The last thing, and then we're going to close, is how long do we evangelize? How you know? Anytime in our culture, anytime that we are about to get involved in something, we always pause, right? Most of us do. We pause and we're like, yeah, but is it contractual? Like, you know, I'm about to buy this phone, but am I in a contract? You know, like, how long am I going to have to pay on this? Some people don't ask that question. You know, they just pay. Anyway, but it's this hesitation of like, what am I actually committing to? How long do we evangelize? Well, the last part of our mission statement says this, until Jesus returns. We evangelize, like there is no off switch. There is no end point. There is no, man, I evangelized that one person. All right, you know, where's my crown at here? You know, where's my jewel for my crown? We don't stop. We continue to go until Jesus returns or we take our last breath. We continue. And we need to, this is how I want this to be for you guys. I want this to be like a weight that comes upon you, but it's a burden. And the thing about burdens produce passion in us. If you have a burden for someone, if you have a burden, come on, a burden in your life, we might call it even a calling. If you have a burden in your life for a certain person to do a certain thing, it produces a passion in you to pursue that. And in our lives, we need to feel the burden of the people around us who are far from Christ. We have to feel that burden. This is not just an intellectual thing. This is not just a, oh, I maybe should go here and there. No, no. Where's the burden? Where's the grit? Where's that deep conviction that says, every opportunity that I get, I'm going to take. I can tell you this, honestly, that the burden that I felt for the guy that I was talking about that got in the car accident, the burden that I felt, and not just me, the other guys that was with me, the burden that we felt for him was birthed in us by the Holy Spirit. And we obeyed that. But I can tell you this, if we were on the other side of that and we had felt that burden and we had not gone and we had not stepped out and we had not paid the price of those late nights and those conversations and all, you know what I'm saying? If we had not done that, I don't know how we would be right now. You know what I'm saying? The level of conviction that said, that you know what I'm saying? Jesus is like, I put you specifically in that moment. I equip you with everything that you needed to help evangelize and preach the gospel to this guy, and you didn't take the opportunity. And I don't believe that God is into condemnation, right? like to where that defines you forever, but I think it does communicate a deep passion that we should have, a deep burden that we should have, and an immediate response that we are all willing to say yes to those moments. Say yes. You know what I'm saying? You get that phone call. You get that phone call, and it's like, this is gonna be one of those long phone calls. This is gonna throw my night off. And there wouldn't be a dread and a, oh my gosh, I gotta do this. But there would be a willingness and an immediate response that says, hey, I'm there. Let's meet up, let's talk. Why? Because you're burdened with the souls of people. So today, that's what I wanna encourage you with. It's one of these messages that's got like it's got energy attached to it, like passion, like let's go, but it's also fueled by this great commandment and this great commission that says, it's not like let's just go for fun. Let's go for fun, but also let's go in because God has put this desire in us to go, and we must go. This is the great commission, and this is the mission of our church, to build communities where we're helping people to know, grow, and go. Y'all with me on that? Let's stand to our feet.